In the third chapter of John's Gospel, and if you have a little Bible marker in your Bible, you could put a marker there, and also a marker in the fifth chapter of 1 John, because I want to take two verses as my text this morning. Let me read them to you. You'll find that they complement one another. They go together. The verse 33 of John's Gospel, chapter 3, reads like this: "He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." And then in 1 John chapter 5, in the verse 10, we read, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." In one verse, that is the verse 33 of John chapter 3, a statement is made in very positive terms. It tells us that the person who receives the testimony of God concerning the Son hath set to his seal that God is true, or has said, "I believe what God says in the gospel is true." That's the positive statement. In 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 10, it says the negative of the same truth. It says, "He that does not believe the record that God has given of his Son hath made God a liar." And I want this morning to preach upon the subject, calling God a liar. Being called a liar is a particularly hurtful and grieving thing. Indeed, I have seen men being called liars and reacting very, very violently to such an accusation, who, when they were called thieves or who were accused of something else, did not react in nearly as an aggressive way, because being called a liar is a particularly hurtful and a particularly vicious thing to be called. It is the duty of the Christian minister to bring home to those he preaches to what an awful thing it is to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and not believe the gospel. Of all sins, it is the greatest. And yet, of all sins, it is most likely undertaken by men and women. People who would not steal or dream of stealing, who would feel rebuked in their conscience immediately the idea of stealing something sprung up, can quite easily reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. People who like to be honest in their dealings People who like to be truthful in their dealings. People who try to be decent in their everyday life. And if they discover that something they have done does not live up to that standard, they would go out of their way to fix it up and straighten it out. Nevertheless, they can refuse to believe in Jesus Christ and do it as if it was a very light and very proper thing to do. People who could not walk out with a church hymn book in their pocket, deliberately taking it, knowing it to be the property of the church, can nevertheless go out of the service rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Stealing a hymn book, my friend, is a minor thing in comparison to rejecting Christ. I would rather people stole the hymn books of this church than reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. In order to bring home to you what is involved in rejecting Christ, I want to take these two texts of Scripture and apply them. Man's fall came about through sin. This world is in the mess it's in today through sin. God in His mercy has made provision. He has opened a way whereby sinners can be delivered from their sins. He has published the news of this provision, telling the world that because of His love for sinners, He has sent His Son to be the propitiation for sin, dying as a sacrifice on Calvary to pay the price of man's redemption. Men are commanded everywhere to repent of their sin and believe this glorious message and to see in Christ the love of God set forth and to see in Christ salvation. Of course, man refuses to do so. At least the vast majority of men and women do so. They refuse to believe Christ. They refuse to believe the gospel. They refuse to obey God's command. And thereby they add insult to the injury, because they not only sin against God, but they now insult God by telling God is a liar. I wish to bring this home to your heart by pointing out just two simple things from the verses that we have read. First of all, here is what faith is. Have you ever wondered what faith is? Have you ever wondered what it means to have faith? Well, here is what faith is. Verse 33 of John 3. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. What is faith? Here is what faith is. It is simply believing that God is telling the truth. That's what faith is. If there is an inquiry in your home as to who broke something, and your suspicions falls upon little Johnny or wee Julie, they were doing a bit of rummaging when they shouldn't have been, and as a result, something has been broken. You say to them, well now, was it you? And they say, oh, no, it wasn't me. I was here, there, and yonder. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Oh, please believe me. It wasn't me. Now, if you decide that what they are saying is the truth, what do you say? You say, that's all right. I have faith in you. I believe you're telling me the truth. That's what faith in God is, my friend. It's saying to God, I believe you're telling me the truth. When I hear the gospel, I am hearing a message from God. I am hearing God undertaking certain things. And if I believe the gospel, I'm saying, I believe God is telling me the truth. You'll find in John chapter 8, for instance, where the Lord Jesus is engaged in a discussion, rather it's a debate, with his old adversaries, the unbelieving Jews. And he says to them in the verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. He says again in the verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Men and women, when you don't believe the Lord Jesus, you're telling him he's a liar. That's what Christ is saying to these people who came questioning and doubting and refusing to believe. He says, why do you not believe that I'm telling the truth? Why are you calling me a liar? What is faith? Faith is simply saying that you believe God is telling the truth. In Mark chapter 12, we have another man who comes to Christ. In the verse 28, we read, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. You're telling the truth. I believe you. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from salvation. Oh, I tell you, my friend, when you face up to the fact that Jesus Christ is telling you the truth, you're not far from salvation. You're not far from salvation.
What is faith? Faith is believing that God is telling the truth. That's what salvation is. Or that's what faith is, rather. One of the great titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's repeatedly given, or at least versions of it are given in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. For instance, you find it in chapter 3. Chapter 3 in the verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The faithful and the true witness. The Lord Jesus is a faithful witness. He's a true witness. When He stands up, my friend, you can believe Him. We have all read about various trials taking place in recent times. And the end of the trial was that the judge said concerning the main prosecution witness, this man is undoubtedly a liar. You couldn't believe a word he says. And consequently, I dismiss the charges. There was the witness in the dock. He was giving evidence. And the judge says, you can't believe him. And my dear friend, that's what many people say about Jesus. You can't believe him. You can't take him at his word. Yet he is the faithful and the true witness. What is faith then? Faith is to set your seal to the gospel and say it's true. It's true. God's speaking the truth. God's speaking the truth. I have no argument with him. Every word of it is true. That's what the gospel is all about. Now, the second point I want to make is that if faith is accepting God as a true witness, if faith is simply believing God to be telling the truth, then unbelief is calling God a liar. Unbelief is calling God a liar. Unbelief is taking all that God says in His Word and saying it's a pack of lies. Now, my dear friend, I'm taking this approach this morning in order that I might bring home to you that it is no light thing to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. When you turn your back on the gospel, when you refuse the message of salvation, here is what you are saying. Every gospel meeting you're in, you sit as a member of a jury. And the preacher seeks to set forth the testimony of God. And it's not the preacher you refuse to believe if you reject the testimony. It's the God of heaven that you're bringing in a verdict against. You're saying he's a liar. I refuse his testimony. I don't believe what is being said. I don't accept it. Oh, dear friend. It is not to annoy, to grieve, to wound, to upset that we bring home this fact to you. It is to save you from adding sin to sin. It is to save you from doing that which perhaps you feel is not a very serious thing. Doing that which vexes God. Because, dear friend, if it is a grieving thing that man should sin, how much more grievous is it that man should sin even after he has been offered forgiveness and pardon
and salvation. If it is bad to be born into this world a sinner and to live in defiance of God, how much greater is that sinfulness if we, after hearing the gospel message, choose to go on because we just don't believe God. John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 10 says, halfway through the verse, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God giveth a son. He just won't believe the record. Do you not believe the record today? Do you not believe what God has said of his son? Listen, here is the record in case you've forgotten it. Verse 11, here's what God has recorded about his son, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and that this life is in his son. He that hath the son hath life, and he that hath not the son of God hath not life. Now today I ask you this question, do you believe that? Or do you think that God's a liar? That there is no eternal life to be found in Jesus Christ. There is no salvation to be found in Jesus Christ. There is no need for you to believe in Christ. There is no need for you to be saved. Now, which do you believe? Do you believe God's record? Do you believe God's been telling the truth? Or do you say, no, I don't believe he's telling the truth. I don't need to be saved. If faith is believing God to be telling the truth, then to reject Christ is to call God a liar. You're saying, you see, in essence, that God is a liar when he professes his love. When we read in the Bible that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's all a lie. That's all a lie. We don't believe in the love of God if we reject the gospel record. When we read, as we do in 1 John chapter 4, in the verse 8, the last phrase of the verse reads, God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. But we say we don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe I need salvation. I don't believe that there is any need of coming to Christ. Therefore, the whole gospel message is a falsehood. It's all empty, and it's all vain. And for God to come telling me this, when it is in actual fact a lie, makes him a liar. We make God to be a liar, my friend. He's a liar when he professes his love toward us, when we reject the gospel. When we reject the gospel, he's a liar when he proclaims his grace. He gave his only son. It wasn't that we deserved such a gift. It wasn't that we merited such a gift, but freely God gave his son. And we say, no, I don't believe that. God's a liar when he says that. Oh, even as I argue the case out and put it in this blunt language, it's grieving. It's vexing. God's a liar when he promises forgiveness. When he tells us that we shall not be condemned if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we turn down that offer, we're saying, I don't believe God. I don't believe I need forgiveness. And I don't believe, therefore, God offers forgiveness. We tell God he's a liar when we refuse to believe his pronouncements about judgment. He that believeth not is condemned already.
He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on him. I don't believe that. God's a liar. God's a liar. That's what you're saying when you reject the gospel. The majority, the Bible tells us, brings in such a verdict against God. John the Baptist was speaking, and these are his words in the last portion of the third chapter of the Gospel of John. He says in the verse 32, "And what he that is Christ, what Christ hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony." Or at least, very few. He came into this world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I tell you, the majority verdict is that God is a liar. Out there in the world today, the majority say God's a liar. And God commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. Men say you needn't bother yourself. It's not true. When God says keep holy the Sabbath day, men say don't bother. It's not necessary. My dear friend, if the weatherman comes on and tells us all it is going to rain tomorrow, or it's going to storm tomorrow, there's going to be snow tomorrow, we act accordingly. Except, that is, if we don't believe him. If we don't believe him, then we don't bother getting the coat out or making the proper plans to meet such weather conditions. If we hear on the news that there's going to be a power strike, then we rush out and we make sure we all have our drums of gas and all the necessary accoutrements to fulfill or fill the gap in such an emergency. Isn't that what we do? Except, of course, if we decide that the news report is a lie, then we don't bother. Then we expect the electricity to be freely flowing tomorrow. And we make no plans whatsoever for the emergency. When the God of heaven plainly tells us that we are sinners, and the soul that sinneth it shall be punished for all eternity, that the wages of sin is eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. When we hear these things, then common sense says, I must now seek to avoid eternal punishment, and I must come to Christ and receive him as my Savior. Except, of course, if we decide that it's all lies, there's no punishment, there's no hell. I'm not going to suffer such an eternal consequence of my sin. All is well. If we decide God's a liar, then we don't bother getting saved. If we decide there's the slightest possibility that this is not the truth, then we do not rise up immediately and obey. Oh, today, my friend, are you building your life upon the fact that God is a liar? And that everything we read in the Bible is not true and therefore can be dismissed and we needn't worry about it? Or today, are you convinced in your heart that God is true? that all that is in the Bible is a true record. And that when it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's true. And that includes me. And when you read in the Bible that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, do you say that's true? And oh, how glad I am that He did. When you read in the Bible that Jesus Christ said, come unto me, and I will save you. Come to me, and I will cleanse you. Do you say, oh, that's great. That's true. I believe that this is truth. And do you rise up and come to Christ? When you read in the Bible that whosoever believeth in Jesus is saved. When you believe in the Bible that the soul that comes to Christ and seeks salvation, then his sins is removed as far from him as the east is from the west, and that God will remember them no more forever. He has dismissed them because Christ has suffered for the sinner. There's no more crime, there's no more guilt, there's no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Do you read that and do you say, bless God, that's true. I'll never be condemned. When you read in the Bible that when the Christian dies, they go immediately to the presence of Christ, which is far better. Do you read that? And does your heart rejoice? Do you say, bless God, that's true? Do you accept the Bible as true? Do you accept what God says to be true? Or today, my friend, will you say God's a liar? Afresh, will you say God's a liar? As God has taken yet another opportunity by His Word and by His Spirit to confront you with the gospel, will you say God's a liar? As God urges you today, right now, to come to Christ and tells you that should you not come to Christ, you increase the possibilities of never again having an opportunity of coming to Christ. Do you say, God's a liar? I don't believe there's any such danger. Will that be your verdict? You know, our service will be over in a moment or two, and we cannot avoid a decision on this matter. Oh, men and women, I call you today to cast your vote for the truthfulness of God. God cannot lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. God cannot lie. He is a God of uprightness and truth. He cannot lie. Oh, today, don't believe the devil's lie. The devil whispered in Eve's ear, yea, hath God said, if you eat the forbidden fruit, you'll die. And he went on then to say, once you started listening to him, thou shalt not die. And Eve believed him. And Eve said, God was telling me a lie when he made that threat. Eve learned afterwards that it was the devil who was telling the lie and God told the truth. And all men one day will learn the truthfulness of the gospel. But some will learn it in the midst of the pains of everlasting damnation. Men and women today, believe God. trust the gospel. Jesus has said, if you come to me, I'll not cast you out. If you come to me, I'll save you. If you come to me, I'll cleanse away your sins. If you come to me, I'll lift you up in my arms as a shepherd carries the sheep, and I'll never let you down. You'll be safe with me. The devil won't be able to harm you. The world won't be able to harm you. Sin won't be able to harm you. You'll be safe with me. You'll be safe with me. Will you believe him today? He says, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. The world promises you life, my friend. It puts on a big show, and it charges you a fortune of money. It'll charge you your health. It'll charge you everything that it can take off you in order to give to you what it promises as life. Jesus says, I'll give you life for no cost at all. And the life that Jesus gives is eternal. And the life that Jesus gives is abundant and totally satisfying. I listen to the adverts of the pub, of the dance hall. I listen to the adverts, my friend, of all the old ungodly pursuits that the world said would give me joy and happiness. And my friend, I never found it, no matter how much money or time I spent in pursuing those things. But there was a day when I believed in Jesus Christ. And I put my faith in Him in an upstairs bedroom in a house in Lowood Park in Belfast. And I said, oh God, save me. And I found God to be true. I found God to be true. Men and women, don't turn your back on Christ. Don't smite the blessed Savior in His face today by calling Him a liar. But say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe. Come to the Savior today. Come right now, my friend, as a sinner. Lift up your heart to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, cleanse me. Cleanse me from my sin and forgive me and save me. Let's bow in prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I would urge you today, my friend, if you're not saved, I would urge you right now just to lift your heart to Christ as we're bowed in the quietness at the end of this service with God's Word still echoing in our heart. Won't you come to Christ? You say, how do I come to Christ? You come to Christ very simply, my friend, by just saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I confess my sin. I believe your Word to be true. You died for sinners. And I'm coming now to ask your forgiveness, your cleansing, your salvation. Lord, save me. My friend, if you pray that prayer, God will save you. God will save you. Won't you pray that prayer now? Won't you believe in Jesus Christ now, my friend? Won't you put your faith in Him right now, friend, as we're bowed in prayer? Perhaps I could give an invitation now. If there's one in the meeting, and today you want to close with Christ, today you want to believe God, in man or woman or boy or girl, just lift your hand up as a token. I believe God. Let me see your hand right now, friend. You're going to give your life to Christ. You're going to trust yourself upon the Word of God. Anywhere in the meeting, let me see your hand. Is there one? Oh, come to Christ. Trust Him today. I'm here to help anyone that wishes to speak with me at the end of the service. O God, our Heavenly Father, be pleased to bring the sinner to thyself. O God, may men and women see that it's a matter of believing God and rejecting the lies of the devil and the flesh. O give grace today, Lord. The unbelieving heart cannot believe without that supernatural grace. Give grace today, Lord. To sinners we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.